Welcome to another episode of The Central Word, a podcast ministry of Central Baptist Church, Texarkana, Arkansas. Today's episode is from the morning message of Sunday, January 11th, and is preached by our pastor, Brother Mike Sylvia. Our desire is that this message builds you up in your faith as you walk daily with Christ. Here now is Brother Mike, beginning a new series titled Discipled, and preaching from Matthew 28:20, a message by the title of Observing the Ten Commandments of Jesus.
Well, with a new year, we have a new sermon series that we're going to begin. Our scripture will be Matthew 28:20. This message this morning, which is the beginning of the new series, is about the Ten Commandments of Jesus. Just like we have Ten Commandments in the Old Testament from the law, I believe there are Ten Commandments in the New Testament from the Lord. Jesus gave us a lot of commandments in the New Testament. Virtually everything that he says to us is something that we need to believe and follow, right? But I think we can boil all of those down into 10 main commandments, some directions for our life that really describe what a true disciple is. And so today we're going to begin to talk about this. And as we follow these commands from the Lord, then we truly are his disciples. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 28, in verse 20, well, leading up to that, he says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them, and then teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you." Now, as I have read that and studied that over the years, I've asked myself the question, and I'm asking that question before you today, what are those things that he says that he wants us to observe? All these things that I have taught you, he says, these commandments I want you to teach others to observe them. That's an important question for us. And in this series, I want us to identify what those commands are. For that reason, I'm calling this series Discipled. I think if we will make these a part of our life and follow these, then we truly are carrying out what Jesus wanted us to understand from him and what he wanted our life to be like. In this new year, as I've shared with you, I want us to have the vision, making Christ central, making him central in our lives, in our homes, in our church, and in our world. And all of this begins with us becoming a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there are some important questions that we need to ask and we need to answer, and that's what we're going to do in this message this morning. And the first one is, are all believers disciples? I mean, you may be sitting there thinking, well, Brother Mike, I've been saved and I've been a member of this church for many years. Aren't I a disciple? Well, maybe, maybe not. All believers are not necessarily disciples. Okay? Now, all believers are believers. Everyone's going to heaven. It doesn't matter what kind of Christian life you live after you're saved, how faithful you've been, how committed you've been, how much you've accomplished. That does not have any bearing whatsoever on whether or not you're going to heaven. What Jesus did for us on the cross and our receiving that payment for our sins and that perfect life that he lived, that's what gets us to heaven. And that's a done deal. And so believers are believers, but all believers are not necessarily following the Lord and walking with him. In fact, as you look at it carefully, the New Testament shows us there are three characteristics of a disciple's life. Jesus gives us those. And the first one is the disciples follow Jesus. This is Luke chapter 9, verse 23. Here Jesus said to a large group of people, He said, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. And so the first step in being a disciple is you follow the Lord. That word follow comes from the Greek word that means road. And so Jesus, in other words, was saying, get on the road with me. Follow me on the journey that I am taking. And when you get on the road with somebody else, you really get to know them, don't you? I mean, you can know someone, but if you go on a 10-week trip with them, you really get to know them. Jackie and Michael Weatherford are some of the best friends that Lori and I have. And at first, we just had a casual acquaintance with them. But then we took a 10-day mission trip overseas, and they were in the group, we were in the group. And we had some experiences on that trip that bonded us. And after that trip was over, we became lifelong friends, and they're among our best friends here today in our ministry. And that's an example of how, if you will go deeper with somebody else, you get on the road with them, share life with them, your life with them goes to a new level. And that's what Jesus is talking about here. To every one of his disciples, he looked at them in the eye and he said, follow me. This is what it means to be a disciple. Then in Matthew chapter 11, verse 29, Jesus gives us a second characteristic of the life of a disciple, and that is disciples learn from Jesus. He says there in Matthew 11, 29, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. The word disciple literally means learner. And so just like there's a difference between a citizen, you know, we're all citizens of the United States, there's a difference between citizens and students. Not everybody that's a citizen of the United States is necessarily a learner or a student, enrolled in a university or a college, pursuing a certain study or a pathway. In the same way, not all believers are necessarily disciples. But those who have begun to follow Jesus in their life and then are learning from him, they're patterning their life after him, and he is their life study. They are the disciples that he is speaking about and he's looking for. And then third is disciples keep the commands of Jesus. John 8, 31. He said, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. So here's one of the commandments of Jesus. He says you need to abide in my word. In other words, keep my word. And so there are various commandments that he has given to us. And as we follow that command, Jesus says, you are truly my disciple. So this year, I want our focus to be, are we truly the Lord's disciple? Is he truly central in our life? If not, let's make him that. Because as he becomes central in our life, then he will and can be central in other people's lives, in our family, in our neighborhood, in our workplace, our school, and in our world. That's the life of discipleship. Now, as we're talking about following commands, we who now live in the age of grace in the New Testament, we need to be clear and understand we're not talking about reverting back to just having a life of rules and laws and commandments, legalism in which we think that we've got to do all this stuff in order to be pleasing to the Lord. No, the Lord loves you regardless. And through his Son, you now are pleasing to him. Through his Son, now you have all of God's favor, all of God's grace that you can receive. But he loves you so much, he wants you to have the best. And so the life of discipleship is about you putting yourself in a place in which you can be blessed while you're here on this earth in the greatest way. And so he's calling you to himself, calling you to this life of discipleship, because he knows that that's the way you can receive the greatest blessing and be used in the greatest way. So let's understand the difference between the commandments of the Old Testament and the commandments of the New Testament. They are different. How? Several ways. Number one, the Old Testament commands are about don'ts, but the New Testament commands are about do's. So in the Old Testament, we have all the thou shalt nots. You know, why was it all the negative commands? It wasn't because God was just in a bad mood then. It's because he was trying to make a clear point. He was trying to help us understand that there was something within us as a human race that was broken and it needed to be fixed. And so when he first began to come and speak to us, he said, don't do this. Stop doing this. This is going to hurt you. And so he laid out all those commandments to show us that we couldn't keep those commandments. That we do have something broken within us. And the main point of the New Testament is that everything God told us in the Old Testament was to show us that we needed a Savior outside of ourselves, a perfect Savior from heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ, who would come to die on the cross for us, rise again, and then with his eternal life, he would allow us to live forever through faith. So, these commandments that we're going to talk about in this series are not some legalistic standard in which, you know, we got to measure up and feel like we've got to do this to earn God's favor or to keep God's favor or to keep our salvation. That's not what the Bible teaches. But the Bible teaches this is a way in which you can be blessed and you can bless the world and that God can use you in a great way while you're here. A second difference between the two commandments. Old Testament commands ended in death. New Testament commandments end in life. That's why there was such a stiff penalty in the Old Testament for all the commandments. It's because sin brings death. It seemed like just a simple thing, just to take that fruit that God said not to eat of in the garden. But at its core, it was rebellion against God. Because God said, and he made it simple, just don't eat this one fruit. I mean, he could have made a really, really big thing, but he didn't. Just a simple thing. Surely we can do without that, right? And do what God wants us to do? No. Man sinned and basically turned his back on God's command, said, hey, I can live without you. I can live my own way. And we've all followed in that same pathway. We've all sinned by choice. We are by nature sinners because our grandparents sinned, and their grandparents sinned, and their grandparents sinned, all the way back to Adam and Eve. And so by nature it's been passed along. But we all have this, and God's trying to teach us through his commandments that our rebellion, our sin will end up in death, but through Christ we can have life and life more abundant. And as we now follow him and do what he says, we now have the power and the ability to follow his commands. Now, we'll not be perfect this side of heaven, but we can try to do as much as God wants us to. And I've learned that in the Christian life, the more you get into God's word, the more you mature, the more that you pray and surrender yourself to the Lord, the more you can do what God wants you to do. But we'll always still have trouble with sin this side of heaven, but we can become more like Jesus the longer that we live. And that's what these commands help us to do. Then also, Old Testament commands come from Moses. New Testament commands come from Jesus. We're followers of Jesus. We're not going back to the law. We're not trying to, you know, get back to a life of legalism in which we're saying, you know, God gets us started, now we've got to finish it. No, it's all of God's grace. But Jesus has a mission for us to fulfill. He has a life for us to live, and this is what he's calling us to. And we'll be blessed as we do this. So, in our church, with this vision that we have of making Jesus central, we need to have a discipleship process which is intentional and personal. And I would like all of you to pray about being involved in our intentional discipleship process. In addition to coming to hearing God's Word, which is a part of discipleship, in addition to being in a small group Bible study, which is very, very important, we also need to link up with somebody else one-on-one who has walked with the Lord a long time and has been taught by others. And we need to learn from them and let them help us as they pass on to us things that the Lord has given to them. This is what we see in Scripture. Paul had his Timothy. Paul trained and discipled Timothy. And then he told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2, "And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." So what I'm looking for this year, and I'm praying about, as God blesses us and moves us in this direction, is that at least six of you young men who have not been in a disciple, one-on-one discipleship dynamic, that you would step forward and you would say, "I would like to be discipled. I would like to link up with a Paul in our church and walk through these things this coming year. And I want to be serious about following the Lord." I would like to see six of you ladies that have never been discipled, never been on a one-on-one relationship with another mature Christian lady, and you go through this process as well, where you meet once a week, you can be flexible, choose a place, choose a time, and you just follow this guide that we're going to present to you. We're going to come up with some handouts that will lead you in a practical way through these commandments of Jesus as we preach about them, talk about them on Sundays. Then during the week, you'll have practical things to follow through and to apply in your life. And you'll have an accountability partner to pray with you and help you and to guide you. And as we go through this process, then God shows up. The Lord shows up. He gets in the middle of that and He begins to teach you and show you things that you need and to change your life. And then guess what? You get to switch places. If you're the Timothy, or you're the Timothy S, whatever we call her, then you get to be the discipler at some point. As God then will bring someone else in your life. It could be someone in your family. It could be someone in your friendship circle or in your workplace, where you get to just simply walk alongside of them and say, "Here's what God has shown me. And here's what the New Testament says. Here's what Jesus says. And it'll bless your life. And I want to help you with that." And as we all do this during the time that we're here on this earth, then we're fulfilling God's purpose for our life. You know, what keeps us going? What gets us up on a cold, windy Sunday morning in January and allows us to not just have a smile on our face, but a smile on our heart and a commitment to say, even though I don't feel great, even though I have a lot of things around my life that's bothering me and I'm not so sure about how I can go forward, I know this is what Christ has called me to do and called me to be in this moment, and I'm going to do it. That's our purpose. That's what keeps us going. And that's what these commandments of Jesus are all about. Now, in the few minutes I have left, let me just go down the list and show you where we're going. Because you may be saying, this may be the first time you've heard this, you know, 10 commandments of Jesus, what are those? Well, in my understanding of the Bible, these are the 10 that I think you could boil the New Testament down to as Jesus has given us commandments. Number one, Jesus said, "Follow me." Okay? Mark 1:17 is the first place He said that. Said it to many other people on many other occasions. But the first commandment to all of us after we're saved and we present ourselves publicly, say, "Hey, I'm a believer. I'm a follower of the Lord." He says, "Now get on the road with me. Spend time with me. Begin to hear from me. and pattern your life after me, and let me change you. Follow me is the first one. The second one is receive my power. John 20, 22, Jesus told his disciples to receive the Holy Spirit. And this was kind of a precursor to what was going to happen on the day of Pentecost. And this was at the end of his ministry. But Jesus didn't talk much about the Holy Spirit at the beginning because he hadn't come yet. But we find the Holy Spirit came upon Jesus in power at his baptism and then through the wilderness experience, his temptation. And the Holy Spirit was very, very active all of the days of Christ that he was here, but particularly in the beginning of his public ministry, in the beginning of your public Christian service, you've got to receive his power to do what he's calling you to do. Then number three, as he said to us in John 8, 31, keep my word. So getting in God's word on a regular basis, you alone with God, is vital to the life of discipleship. Beginning of a year is a great time to get into a Bible reading plan if you're not in one. If you are looking for a Bible reading plan, Google it. They're all out there on the internet. There's a lot of good ones that are out there. Some that I have used over the years. I have copied and I put them out on the foyer tables. You're welcome to take any of those with you. There's also a copy of the sheets out there of how you have a quiet time alone with God. You may have been like me. So you were raised in church and you heard all these things, but you never really understood how you just have a walk with God every single day and how you spend time with Him in the Word every day. It just takes 10 to 15 minutes. You can spend more than that, 30 minutes or more. But just to start your day off in the Word, letting Him speak into your life, and then you follow what He says. That's what He's talking about here when He says, keep my Word or abide in my Word. Then, fourth commandment is love one another. Matthew 5, 44. And Jesus speaks about this all through His ministry. Beginning, the middle, the end. Because as you begin to follow God's word, then you will be a person of love. Jesus said, all the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. To love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind, and to love your neighbor as yourself. You cannot keep God's word without it making you a loving person. And so we want to walk in that, learn about that, because all of us need to learn more about how to love one another and love this world, people in this world. Then number five, pray to the Father. Jesus was a person of prayer. He modeled this. It was one of his first major teachings in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 6, 6, as he taught us how to pray to the Father. And we have all got to learn how to get in our prayer closets and on a regular basis take our life to the Lord, receive His power and His grace, and then to step out and to live for Him. Then number six, forgive one another. Mark 11, 25. There in Mark, after the Lord gives the model prayer, He begins talking about forgiveness. Why? Because no matter how much you stay in God's Word, no matter how much you pray, if you harbor resentment and unforgiveness in your heart towards someone else, there's going to be a wall up between you and them and between you and the mission God wants you to be on. Because His mission for you is all about people. It's all about other people around you that need Him, just like you need Him. And so we've got to learn how to forgive and let some things go, just as Jesus did, praying from the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know what they do. Then number seven, major commandment, major teaching that Jesus gave to His disciples before He left them is abide in me. He talked about abiding in John chapter 14, 15, and 16. And He showed us what it meant to make Him the sole resource of our life, to abide in Him as the branch abides in the vine. He knew His disciples were going to need this, and you and I need this. We need to learn how to go to Him for everything first. and foremost, and receive the strength that He gives us. That's the only way we can endure this journey of discipleship. And then commandments 7, 8, and 9, rounding out the list, all come from the Great Commission, Matthew 18, 19, verses 19 through 20. And that is, make disciples, baptize believers, and teach the baptized. So as you walk with the Lord and you become who He wants you to be, and He begins to shape your life and change your life and empower your life, He wants you to go reach somebody else. To go out in the neighborhoods, out in the world, out in your workplace, and find somebody else like you that needs Him. And to make a disciple. Not make a believer, even though that's a part of it. But not just bring them to the Lord and drop them, but bring them to the Lord and then teach them like you've been taught. So they can go and do the same thing. This is multiplication. This is reaching people in such a way in which we can reach the world. And that's what Jesus has on His heart. He loves the world, the people in the world. And He wants us to be disciples in this way so that we can make the maximum impact. As you see someone come to the Lord, you encourage them to be baptized, bring them to church. Our church baptizes believers, and in that way you're a part of that process. And then you can help disciple that person and do what Jesus has said. I think this is what it boils down to right here. If you're a person that likes lists, here's a list for you, okay? You check it off saying, okay, I'm doing pretty good in loving today. And we just follow the Lord in these things. And as we do, then we can look back on our lives and say, yes, I was discipled. My life counted. My time mattered while I was here. Now I want to leave you with two life stories as we talk about how God can make a difference and can use us. He can use anyone. There was a little boy I heard about years ago that was not raised in church. His family was not churched, but he was in a very churched area, and he got invited to Sunday school, and he showed up for Sunday school not knowing what it was like and what was going to be happening. And he had an elementary Sunday school teacher that was one of these that really loved her children, loved her class, and really tried to make it real. And she called on this little boy to pray before the class was over. First time he'd be in class. I guess she thought he looked like he could pray. But he couldn't. He was so ashamed in front of his classmates because he couldn't even say the word. He just hung his head in silence. And the teacher kind of moved on. That young boy kept coming back to church. That young boy eventually was saved. That young boy was discipled in that church in South Florida years ago. And then was surrendered to the ministry. God used him as a young man in a powerful way. And he grew up to become one of the greatest preachers in our generation. That man's name is Adrian Rogers. A man, if you've ever heard him preach or ever heard him pray, you're just amazed at how God has used him and the words that he can use. When I grew up, when I started pastoring churches and I was early in my ministry, my first full-time church was about 10 minutes away from Bellevue Baptist Church in Memphis, Tennessee. I pastored in the shadow of that great church. Dr. Adrian Rogers. And I would listen to him. And I would try to preach like him some in those early days. And I've learned a lot from him. And hearing his testimony about how this is the way he started, it shows all of us God can use anybody. You think, oh, I can't be a disciple. I can't do this thing that other church people do. No, God can use you. He looks at you and says, follow me. Second story was a young man also who grew up in an area where there was a lake. And as a result, he loved to fish. He loved to fish so much that he decided to make it his career. It was his job, his vocation. And as fishermen are, sometimes they have rough edges and they get out there on the lake and they just kind of say and do whatever they want to do. That's the way this guy was. But one day, as he was out there by his boat, cleaning his nets, Jesus Christ walked by on the seashore where he was. And he looked at this rough fisherman, who was a sinful man by his own admission. And he looked at him and he said, "Follow me." And by now you know I'm talking about the Apostle Peter. If you're like him and you say, "I've messed up. I've heard about Jesus and I tried to follow him and I've done my best, but I've stumbled and I've said things and done things that I shouldn't have, and I just can't do it. I can't do this. I can't be someone like you're talking about." Jesus looks at you and he says, "Follow me." And he can change your life. And he can use you just like he did Peter and many others. So with our heads in prayer this morning, I want to invite you in your heart to take that step today to say, "Lord, I want to follow you. Lord, I give you a yes today. I don't understand what all it will mean. And what I do understand scares me. But Lord, I know I need to follow you. And so here am I. In our invitation, just a few moments, you'll have an opportunity to come if you choose. You don't have to, but if you want to come to this altar and dedicate your life to him, you can do that. Or if you need to come and speak to me or someone, either about being saved or about surrendering your life, you'll have that opportunity. Or if you simply want to take that information card that you've got and put your name on it, and in one of those lines there just say, "I want to be discipled. I want to become a disciple of Jesus Christ." You can just privately write that out, put it in the offering plate, and one of our pastors will get that and we'll look at it. And we'll help you. Jesus is calling us. We all need to give an answer. He wants us to follow him, to leave our life, to leave our nets, to leave our way of doing things and then follow his. And if we will, looking back on it years later in heaven, we'll never regret it. We'll say, "I'm so glad that I decided to follow Jesus." Lord, bless this invitation. Lord, you have called disciples to yourself. Only you do that, Lord. And you're calling others today. Thank you for that. Pray that those you're calling, Lord, will say yes. Bless our church. Empower us, Lord, to take our place, to do our part, to follow you in our part of the world, and to make the difference that you can make through us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand together.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The Central Word. God bless you and have a wonderful week.